Our first lesson today comes from the prophet Isaiah, the 40th chapter. Let us listen for God's word. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint and strengthens the powerless. Even youths will faint and be weary, and the young will fall exhausted. But those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint.
Our second scripture lesson today comes from Luke chapter 24. Listen for God's word. Then Jesus said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then Jesus opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, "Thus it is written, the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. And see, I am sending upon you what my Father promised. So stay here until in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." Then he led them out as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. While he was blessing them, he withdrew from them and was carried up into heaven, and they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they continually were in the temple, blessing God. The word of God for the people of God. Tammy and I made some new friends recently. After a few friendly conversations, it was clear that we shared some things in common. So the couple invited us to their home for dinner, which was really good because we didn't have a kitchen yet. It turned out to be one of those evenings that happens so naturally. The food that they had prepared tasted wonderful, and the conversation was as enjoyable as the food itself. Even after dinner, we kept talking, sharing stories about our lives that made us laugh and be thankful. By the time we left, we didn't just feel like we had eaten good food. We felt like we had a new relationship with a couple, who they were and are, and what they do. Hearing about them, sharing who we are, it changed us. Something like that happened in our scripture passage today in the Gospel of Luke, both times over meals. At the beginning of the chapter today, three women and Peter had found the tomb empty. Two angels told them that Jesus was going to meet them again soon, and he did. First, he appeared to two disciples walking on the road to the town of Emmaus. They didn't recognize him at first, but when he gathered them for dinner, he took bread, he gave thanks, he broke it, and began to give it to them. Their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. After Jesus left them, the two men rushed back to tell the 11 disciples what had happened, to confirm the news that Jesus was indeed alive. Then sitting around a meal talking about all these things, Jesus appeared to them also in the flesh. They were so alarmed that they thought he was a ghost. So he took some food and he ate it in front of them. Because you see, ghosts don't have the guts to do that. I can only imagine what a great meal that must have been. Seeing Jesus in the flesh, seeing most everyone back together again. But after they finished eating, it became clear that this was going to be the last time Jesus would meet them. He was leaving. He didn't fully understand it at the time. They didn't fully understand it at the time, but he needed to complete what he started. He needed to ascend to heaven. His ascension would be the final piece that made him Lord of all. His ascension completed the circle, we might say, of becoming one of us in his birth, going through his life and ministry, his dying and his rising, and now his return to God. That's what the ascension really is. It's really more like a return than a liftoff. Author N.T. Wright says that the word ascension doesn't quite communicate what happened. Some people, he writes, insist that Jesus must have done some kind of a vertical takeoff, despite the fact that those same people know that he isn't now somewhere out in outer space. It's not like he boarded a plane to some far-off destination. It's not like he did some sort of David Blaine magic trick where he just starts rising off the ground. And he didn't just disappear and become some sort of spiritual presence. It's more like he returned to heaven. However it happened, the more important part of the ascension is this. He returned to heaven with his human body. The Jesus who ate food with his disciples, both before and after his resurrection, is the same Jesus who ascended to the presence of God. When he did, Jesus returned to God in such a way that he took his body, scars and all, with him. N.T. Wright points out that this tells us at least two important things. Jesus has gone ahead of us into God's presence, God's space, God's new world, and is both ruling the rebellious present world as its rightful Lord, but he's also interceding for us. He's praying for us at the Father's right hand. Jesus continues his work on our behalf with his body in God's presence. Now, I know that this might sound far-fetched, even mind-blowing, this whole idea of Jesus' bodily resurrection and ascension. I think it's fair to say that people throughout the ages have struggled to wrap their minds around this basic idea in our creed, that Jesus died, rose from the dead, and ascended to heaven. In fact, this is what our Thursday morning adult study group is reading and talking about right now with N.T. Wright's book, Surprised by Hope, Rethinking Heaven, the Resurrection, and the Mission of the Church. However, at its most basic, the ascension of Jesus tells us that Jesus' work is both complete now and that it continues. Before we go too far, though, let's get back and look at what Jesus did with his disciples before he ascended to the Father. Sitting around a table after his meal, Jesus opened the minds of the disciples one last time to the Scriptures. He looked back over his life and ministry. He walked them through his arrest, trial, betrayal, death, and resurrection. He showed them how it all fit with the Hebrew Scriptures and that it was supposed to happen. Then Jesus concluded with these words, "You are my witnesses of these things." Soon the disciples would receive God's power to tell of these things, but for now they just needed to wait. Wait and perhaps reflect on what Jesus had said. You see, something had changed. Jesus had circled back with them to help them see that all that had happened was part of God's plan, and that plan had been fulfilled. The world was different, even if they couldn't always tell it. And so were those disciples. They weren't just followers any longer. They were witnesses. Witnesses that Jesus to Jesus' life and ministry, his death and resurrection. They were witnesses that all that he had done had actually changed the world. They were witnesses of what can happen when a person repents of their sinfulness and experiences forgiveness. Jesus had circled back so that they could see all of that, and so that they could tell of what they knew as witnesses that the world had changed. So I wonder, did they feel ready? Did they feel adequate? Were they prepared to be witnesses? In her blog, Still Waters, Presbyterian co-pastor Teresa Cho writes, What do we witness when we circle back through this journey? That's the task Jesus leaves us with. You are witnesses of these things. We are invited to look back at Jesus' life and ministry and to recollect the healing of the blind man, the feeding of the 5,000, the outcasts welcomed, the parables told. But surely our task is more than just reciting and remembering the events that have taken place. What are these things that Christ is calling us to witness? How has our journey through Christ's life affected us? How we live? How we do ministry? I mean, we don't circle back to these stories Jesus told just to recite history. Surely, circling back and thinking about Jesus during Advent and Christmas, Lent and Easter is more than just a history lesson. We go back to them because they tell us that something deep and abiding has changed in the world. It's taken place not only in the world, but in our lives. We look back and we remember so that we can look forward to being witnesses to the change that Jesus has brought. I like the way Teresa Cho likens it to learning how to cook. She writes, "When my mother began teaching me how to cook, she always said that the first step is eating. Eat the food. Let the flavors and the taste become a part of you. Eating my mother's cooking was more than learning how to cook," she says. "It was also a way of understanding my mom. She poured so much of herself into her cooking. If you know how to eat and you know how the food should taste," she says, "then you're ready to begin cooking the food for others." "I'm sending you what my father promised," Jesus said, "but you are to stay in the city until you have been furnished with heavenly power." It's almost as if Jesus is saying, "Stay, eat, and taste until you're ready to cook and share a meal with others." Teresa goes on to say it like this: "Our task is to eat, taste, and dissect the flavors that we savor in the pot, so that we may come to understand the chef. By letting the taste sink in and challenge our taste buds, we discover that the flavors that we may never have noticed before. We give in to the fermentation process to allow our hearts to be changed and our lives to be transformed so that we may share this meal, this ministry, really, of faith, love, grace, forgiveness, hope. Others may not be able to physically touch Jesus' hands and feet, but with us, they are able to taste and share in the meal. So who do we become when we look back at Jesus' life and we wait forward for God? One way to answer that is to look at what happened to the disciples and who they became. Our reading today and the ones in the early chapters of the book of Acts tell us a lot about them. In today's reading, Luke tells us the disciples were continually in the temple blessing God. They had gratitude for their forgiveness and the new life they experienced. Acts reports that the disciples shared their possessions and there wasn't a needy person among them. That's evidence that faith became abundantly generous. Acts also tells us that Peter proclaimed that everyone who believes in Jesus receives forgiveness through his name. That's a legacy of Jesus Christ, knowing that what Christ had given to them, they were now passing on to others. Over the past year, we've been doing some of this reflection on who we have become, looking back at our ministry together to see what God has done, so that we can wait forward into what God is leading us into next. The work of our ministry development team listened not just for good ideas, but for what is emerging in our ministry as we have done ministry together. What is God unfolding as the next steps in our lives and our life together so that we can be faithful The team looked back with many in our congregation and heard, we believe, what are some of God's next steps for us. The session then hired Tom Norwood of Horizon Stewardship to do a feasibility study of how we'll get there. The feasibility study is underway right now is a time of waiting. Waiting forward into how we will proceed. The hope of all of it is what Jesus says to his disciples and to us before he ascends. You are witnesses of these things. You are witnesses of the good news of Jesus Christ. You are witnesses of how God transforms our lives and the lives of many more through our ministry together. You are witnesses of who we have become by looking back at Jesus' life and ministry and waiting forward to become a people of faith, hope, and love. People who are generous and kind and welcoming. People who advocate for the marginalized and stand for justice in our ministry and in our daily lives. In other words, you are witnesses of the love and forgiveness of God, making all life new. And because of that, I hope that you will not only fill out that feasibility study survey that has been sent to you, I hope you will now wait forward into God's promise, which will clothe us with power from on high to share that good news in so many more ways. Let's celebrate who we are. And let's celebrate who we are becoming. And along the way, let's worship God as God prepares us for what's next. Amen.